Logan ticked his facts off on his fingers. We have his fingerprints at the scene. We have a complaint filed by one of the neighbors reporting him for looking in her windows. We know he knew the victims, that he'd been hanging around the neighborhood. He had the victim's necklace in his possession at the time of his arrest. He was doing odd jobs, Scott said. He admits to having been in the Haas home the day of the murders. Mrs. Haas paid him $35 to install some curtain rods. He stole a cheap necklace, big deal. Other than the one neighbor, no one in the neighborhood had any complaint against him. Logan rolled his eyes dramatically. Every one of them said the guy was strange, that he gave them the creeps. That's not against the law.
Good thing for you, Logan muttered.
Carrie warned him again. Mr. Logan. He gave her a familiar look from under the heavy, dark eyebrows.
An eyewitness puts him at the scene.
At least 5 hours after the murders had been committed, Scott pointed out.
Coming back to review his work, Logan said.
That doesn't make any sense. Coming back that late in the day when people would be arriving home from work?
So he was back to kill the father and the oldest kid.
Just where did you get your crystal ball, Logan? Scott asked. Maybe we can all run out and get one. Maybe the state can buy them in bulk and distribute them to every law enforcement agency.
Carrie arched a brow in disapproval.
Put the sarcasm away, Mr. Scott.
Logan jumped in again. This is a clear exception to the rule, Your Honor. The man is a serial killer at the front end of his career. If we don't stop him now...
Carrie held up a hand to stave off any more arguments. Her head ached as if it had been crushed by a millstone. Through law school and the years working her way up the ranks, her goal had been to sit in these chambers, to wear the robes, to be a judge. At that moment, she wished she had listened to her grandmother and honed her secretarial skills as a fallback should she not land a suitable husband. Presiding over felony proceedings was a responsibility she had never taken lightly. Because she'd come from a successful career as a prosecuting attorney, people expected her to be biased toward the prosecution, an expectation she had worked hard to dispel. As a prosecutor, it had been her job to vigorously pursue the conviction of defendants. As a judge, her job was to preside fairly, to take no sides, to keep the scales of justice in balance, so that every verdict was reached based solely on the relevant facts and evidence presented. Carrie couldn't take sides, no matter what her personal feelings might be. In this case, she had her work cut out. 2 children had been brutalized, tortured, murdered, left hanging by their necks from the ceiling of a dank basement. She was a mother herself. The idea of someone harming her daughter evoked an emotion so strong there were no words adequate to describe it. She had viewed the crime scene photos and the videotape. The images haunted her. The children's foster mother had been raped, sodomized, tortured, her body sliced open from throat to groin. The coroner had determined that the woman had died first, though there was no way of knowing what might have taken place before her very eyes. Prior to her death, she might have been made to watch while unspeakable acts were committed on the children. The children might have been made to watch while unspeakable acts were committed on her. Either way, a nightmare from the darkest, most primal, fear-filled corner of the human mind. But as a judge, Carrie couldn't attach those atrocities to the defendant on trial before her. Her decision on the matter before her now couldn't be swayed by her own fears or disgust. She couldn't worry how people would react to her ruling. A criminal trial was not a popularity contest. A fine theory, at least. She took a breath and sighed, the weight of the matter pressing down on her. The attorneys watched her. Kenny Scott looked like he was waiting for her to pronounce sentence on him. Logan's impatience was palpable. He stared at her as if he believed he could influence her mind by sheer dint of will. Carrie quelled the sick feeling in her stomach. Move forward. Get it over with.
I've read your briefs, gentlemen, she said,
and I'm well aware of the impact my decision will have on this case, I can guarantee neither of you would want to be sitting in this chair right now. Logan would have argued that, she knew. Bias was a way of life for him. Right with might was his motto. If he believed something, then it was so. No arguments. But he held his tongue, held his breath, poised to leap out of his chair. Carrie met his gaze, full on. I don't see an exception here, she said. Logan opened his mouth, ready to rebut. You'll allow me to finish, Mr. Logan. His face was flushed red with anger. He looked at the wall.